A Life of Jesus by Brother Melva Perkis. Book 6, Chapter 8. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Tragedy now came to the little family at Bethany. Lazarus, the beloved brother of Mary and Martha, was struck down suddenly with a fatal illness. Looking at him as he lay on his bed, they saw the pallor of death was already upon him. Their thoughts flew to Jesus. He alone could help them. They knew he was somewhere in the Jordan Valley. How could they get to him? Here was a reliable man who could be trusted to find him with the minimum delay. They gave him the message, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." That was all. No urgent request for him to come. It was enough that he knew their need. The messenger departed. In his absence, Lazarus grew rapidly worse, and probably during that night he died. The trust of the sisters was being severely tried. The burial had to take place almost immediately. Mourners came to perform their sad rites. Villagers flocked to the house and followed the bier to the tomb outside the town. Many friends came over from Jerusalem, 2 miles away. Everybody seemed to be in Bethany. Everybody except Jesus. He had not come. The messenger found him on the banks of Jordan. He received an answer to take back to the sorrowing sisters. "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." But it was already a house of death to which the man returned. Surely the rabbi had made a terrible mistake. Yet faithfully he repeated the words of Jesus. Bewilderment was added to their grief. What could he mean? So even Jesus had been wrong? Even he could not help them now? Did Mary understand? No, not even Mary. If only he had spoken the word. He had not even come. Was the messenger sure the rabbi had said nothing about coming? No, he turned away and continued preaching. Heavy-footed, she went into the house in bewildered despair and grief. But Jesus had not forsaken these weeping sisters. As if to assure us, John records, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Coming where they do, the words assume a lovely significance. They suggest that his love for them was a test of his resolution. For 2 long days, while the women wept in Bethany, Jesus abode still in the same place where he was. An even greater love held him back. The love that desired to comfort their hearts with the assurance that he was the resurrection and the life. The 2 days accomplished, Jesus turned to his disciples. "Let us go into Judea again." The words brought them apprehension. They'd not forgotten the menacing shadows of the temple, the cries of abuse, the stones. Yes, the stones above all. They seemed too sharp a reminder of the things their Lord had told them that were waiting for him there. "Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again?" Jesus reassured them. There were still some hours of daylight left before the hour of darkness came. With him, even in Judea, they will be in light and will not stumble. Without him, it matters not where they are, they will be groping in darkness. He told them the reason for his departure. "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Seizing eagerly the opportunity to remain in safety, they suggested that the crisis seemed to be over. If he slept, he would recover. Jesus spoke plainly, "Lazarus is dead." He was glad he had not been there. Could his resolve have outlasted his love had he seen the silent suffering of those he loved at Bethany? Thomas, honest and loyal, fearful but faithful, gave voice to his fear and his love. "Let us also go, that we may die with him." At Bethany, the burial was over, the tomb was sealed. But the mourners remained to console. Martha was told that Jesus had come, and she climbed the hill to meet him on the outskirts of the little town. Mary stayed in the house. "Lord," cried the elder sister, "if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." but looking upon him after these days of anxiety and grief, she felt once more the strength of his presence. A flicker of hope stirred in her heart. She dared not dwell upon the full implications of it, even to herself, but suddenly it found expression. I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus knew. Thy brother shall rise again. Yes, she believed that. He had been a dear, good man. There was the resurrection. But what of this aching void in her heart? What of that lovely home hidden now among the vines, the home that had suddenly become lonely and cheerless? Gently, Jesus lifted her thoughts higher, beyond the present grief, beyond even the joy that her brother's restoration would give her for a few years before this scene was repeated. He had come to bring life, life more abundant, life that would triumph over this mortal span of years. Fellowship with him would bring her into relationship with divine life, triumphant in its victory over death. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He looked into her face. Believest thou this, Martha? Ah, that was a challenge indeed. With true sincerity, she could say she believed in him. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. With an indefinable hope, she left him there. Back in the little home where she'd been taught the secret of true service, she found Mary surrounded by her friends, and drew her aside. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Breathlessly, Mary rose and left the house. At last, he had come. Half running, she climbed the hill towards him. The mourners watched her anxiously. She's gone to the grave to weep there, she thought. We cannot leave her. It was the Lord's purpose that they should follow to witness what was now to be done. Mary found her Lord waiting for her, and with her heart bursting with relief and anguish, she threw herself at his feet. Brokenly, she repeated what she had said to Martha so many, many times during the last few days. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She could say no more, and she lay at his feet, quietly weeping. The mourners could bear the sight no longer. Watching this sad, prostrate figure, they wept. Jesus, the Son of God, looked on and was troubled in spirit. Gently he lifted her up. Where have you laid him? Lord, come and see. They reached the tomb. The gravestone, cold and final, shut in Lazarus from the world of life and light. The silence was only broken by the weeping of the women. But beyond the silence, a prayer ascended. Jesus, now deeply moved, looked upon the scene. The stricken sisters of the family he loved, the mourning women, the rock-covered tomb, grey and silent. It was a picture in miniature of all that sin had wrought. This scene enacted down the ages and through ages yet to come. He will staunch these tears, but they will flow afresh. They will stream down the cheeks of those who have no comforter to bring restoration. Jesus wept. The mourners watching in amazement whispered one to another, "Behold how he loved him. Behold rather how he loved all mankind. And behold, not here in Bethany. Look out over that distant shoulder of rock that leans toward Jerusalem. There you shall behold how he loved." Reaching the cave where Lazarus lay, he asked Martha to have the stone removed. But Martha, practical still, said, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." Martha had forgotten the words the messenger had brought from beyond Jordan. "So thou not unto thee, thou shalt see the glory of God." The stone was rolled away, the cave yawned open. The prayer that Jesus offered, even while he wept, had been answered. "I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Turning to the tomb, his voice rose in a ringing command, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. We turn to Christ in our moments of suffering and trial. Our need is enough for his love. But sometimes he remains away and we do not understand the message he sends. The crisis comes and goes, and perhaps we are left grief-stricken and alone. But one day we shall hear the summons. The Master is come, and he calleth for thee. Before the open grave he will show us that he is the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth on him, though he were dead, shall live. Then we shall see the completed pattern of our lives, and we shall know that the sorrow and suffering made up the fullness of his love.